There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Hi, folks. Pastor Mike with you again here on WCN-TV. Thank you for joining us. While we have a few seconds before we get into a conversation with author Denise Schick, and by the way, Denise, I think this is, I know for a fact it's at least her second and maybe third appearance on WCN-TV, so she's becoming a veteran on our show. I'm very thankful to have her, but we're going to be talking about her newest book, Out of Darkness and Into the Light, Winning the Battle of Gender Identity. So while we have a couple of seconds, text your friends, your family. There is somebody out there, chances are very, very good, there's somebody out there in your life or family that would benefit from hearing this conversation. If people care about trans kids, they will believe them when they declare their gender identity, or so goes the popular mythology. If we don't affirm them, we'll be complicit when they get depressed or commit suicide, say the experts. But according to Denise Schick, our guest tonight, who grew up with a father who believed he was trans, those who undergo gender reassignment surgery are 12 times more likely to commit suicide than those who do not. This staggering reality indicates surgery does more harm than good for those who are gender confused. We're told that changing one's appearance will solve internal gender confusion, when actually the opposite is true. Now listen to these statistics, folks. Transgender surgery has become big business to the tune of $2.1 billion. $2.1 billion industry, trans surgery. It's expected to be $5 billion industry by 2030, yet 95% of it is experimental. Denise says thousands of people have been manipulated to believe that hormone treatments, surgical procedures, antidepressants, anxiety medications for a man-made cervix are prescribed in the name of love. I could go on and on and on, but I think you get the drift of where we're going to go in this conversation. And again, thank you, producer, for having that book cover up, Out of Darkness and Into the Light, Winning the Battle of Gender Identity, Denise Schick, and the website. Let me remember to give this right off the bat. Help4families.com. Help4families.com. Thank you, producer, for putting that. Denise, welcome back to WCN-TV.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's great to be with you all.
It's wonderful to chat with you again, and really appreciate your ministry and all that you have done over these many years. There has been a drastic spike in the number of people identifying as transgender just in the last 4 or 5 years. What do you attribute that to? Are there any indicators that would explain this, Denise?
You know, I think some of the indicators from what I have seen since around 2013, 2014 is when this became such a political issue. It also became the ideology where it was being taught, accepted, and so on in our schools and our education systems. So we have two very important big components here when we're talking about politically fed, and then the fact of our children in our education institutions where math and history, arithmetic have kind of gone by the wayside, and everything kind of would definitely confirm that when we look at where our education systems are. But when it comes to this ideology, when we are teaching preschoolers, reading them preschool LGBT books about their gender that brings in confusion, when we have teachers that are asking elementary age students on a Friday, do you still identify as a boy or a girl, or how do you identify today? So the ideology has gone on for several years as well. These education systems, everything that is happening in our world has become so chaotic once we started to use, and I say we, but society started to bring the children into this matter. And really what they're doing is sacrificing that child's life.
Yes, yeah, absolutely true. Now, and I don't want to go down this path too far, but I will just make an observation. What I observe happening today in the political realm with this current administration attempting, well, I pray it gets done, but attempting to shutter the Department of Education and turn that task back to the states, I think that would be one of the best things that has happened to American education in probably 40 or 50 years, because when the states are overseeing and local school districts are overseeing, and they're not kowtowing or making decisions at the local level in order to continue to receive that funding, I think we'll see things change. Do you have an opinion on that, Denise?
I do. I personally, I think it would be one of the best things that could happen for our education system. You know, perhaps when we look back and reflect on COVID and what had occurred during that time, I believe that it opened up parents' eyes. It opened up public eyes to what our children have been taught and what is going on in the schoolroom, you know, the secrets, the things that the students were not allowed to tell their parents. That ought to be a violation, right? Against the parents' rights, against that child's rights. So I do agree with you. I think it would be one of the best things that could happen to our country is to tear apart the NEA.
Yeah, absolutely. It should have never been created, in my opinion, in the first place. It was a ploy to remove control by local communities over their schools. But be that as it may, have you ever received a criticism, Dean? Well, who are you to speak into this subject of transgenderism? So that's for, have you ever been challenged on that? And secondly, if you have, what was the response after you shared your story?
Yeah, you know, I have been challenged. So I'm going to say back around 2015, 2014 in there, when I was going very quietly to some hearings, Senate and House hearings in Annapolis, to basically fight back with the bathroom bills back then when very few people heard of them. And the individuals, so the activists, were the ones that would question me and why is she here? You know, what makes you think that you have the right to speak into that? Well, the way that I answered with them is that I know what it was like as a young girl when the privacy in the bathroom at home was taken and stolen from me. When I realized that my dad had a peephole, you know, when there were other things going on. No woman, young girl, anybody that is female should have to wonder if they are safe in the bathroom, restroom, school locker room, wherever it is. And quite honestly, at that point, when they were just learning my story, the experience I had is they didn't know what to say at that point. I would not argue or debate with them. You know, it was just presenting my experience. And then the experience that I had brought with counseling individuals that are gender confused, as one man said, I'm trying to fight against this. Why are the state laws and legislations trying to promote something that so many of us are trying to fight against and not cave into?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And one of the most common arguments that I hear out there from proponents is that you can't determine for somebody else who or what they are. And I know you hear that a lot, but science is science. X, Y, and XX, I mean, that's not going to change, is it?
No, it is not going to change. And the fact that there are so many irrefutable differences between males and females, that science backs up God's word and God's word backs up science. You know, for women, there are some genes expressed only in the left vertical of the heart. Of women working to protect our hearts from disease until we reach menopause. The other fact is that men are more prevalent to have, my mind's going so fast right now, Parkinson's. And so when we even look at the difference of that, or medications are expressed differently for males and females. What I'm really enjoying starting to search and look at the research and the facts is even our blood is different as male and female. Everything science backs up God's word that he created male and female. And God's word, again, backs up our biological facts.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's that mantra from those who support transgenderism kind of went down in flames. Trust the science, because obviously the pushback is, well, we do. It's actually your position in support of this that's not trusting the science, because the science is clear. What's going on? Go ahead, Denise.
I was just going to say, and what the school education systems have done at all levels, or this whole ideology woke movement, is try to suppress science, suppress the facts, and bring in this make-believe fantasy lying environment. So you're suppressing the very truth that honestly sets people free, right? When we speak freely and can be quite honest here, we are trying to tell somebody that you are going to be happier when you transition. I understand you're depressed, but you know, if you have the surgery, if you start the puberty blockers, everything will be right. You are setting up a person to live in a fantasy and yes, nothing more.
Yeah, that's right. And that comes with all kinds of issues, not to mention extreme depression. Thoughts of darkness just invades. I have a friend, and many of these, I know some of our friends in the queue are aware of David Arthur. And by the way, he's going to be on with a friend of ours tomorrow morning. I'm just announcing this for everybody else. Coach Dave Live, David Arthur will be on with him. David's testimony, he lived as a transgender for 30 plus years. And he has a story where he was speaking with a couple of fellow transgenders, and they had went so far as to have the reassignment surgery. And he had scheduled that. It was still a couple of days away, and they were in tears. They were in tears telling him, do not, under any circumstances, do not do this. it is not the answer. It'll just plunge you into further darkness.
Yes. And that's, it's a trap.
Yes.
It is a trap that is set for the person to believe. I remember a phone call that I had received from a gentleman that had had surgery 6 weeks prior. When he called, he was identifying that he was calling for a friend, but it was very clear to see in a matter of moments that it wasn't the friend. It was himself that he was calling about. And there was such distress over the reality of what he had done to himself. And how can God forgive him? And how can he forgive himself? And those are some of the comments, the statements that I hear from people as they're coming to the reality of who they really are and realizing how valuable they are to God and what they've done to their bodies. One woman had a conversation in her mind, you know, with God as he's speaking to her about coming back to him. And she said, no, I can't. Look what I've done, Lord. Look what I've done to your creation. So they realize the depth of where they have traveled, where they've ended up. My dad, after living the life as Becky for 13 years, had actually acknowledged and said, this meaning transitioning and being a woman did not bring me the fulfillment that I thought that it would. It leads them to an empty place.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned something a couple of minutes ago. Denise, and I want to pick up on just as a bullet point for people to understand this entire movement, if we can call it a movement, or this box of deception, transgenderism, is really linked to an ideology. There's a larger demonic movement at work. It's actually an ideology, and this ideology does not care one bit about people's lives. They'll claim that they'll support it because they want people to be happy. But that's not the case at all. It's actually an ideology that's demonic, and it's just one aspect of trying to overthrow America. And I know that might sound somewhat conspiratorial, but it isn't. It is directly linked into, and I would just say this for people, if you've not already read like George Orwell's 1984 or Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, read those books and you'll understand what's going on. Transgenderism as a movement is being utilized by those who are trying to collapse this nation. That's what's going on. I just wanted to put that out there, Denise. I don't know if you have any thought or comment.
No, I think that's very well said. When we as God's people look at this as a spiritual issue and you begin to see, your eyes are open to the spiritual war, this really is. It is a war against God, against God's creation as man and female. And he also is not just stopping with the individual and the struggles that they have, where who they are and where they come from and where is their value at. But the families, you have so many families that are split now. Everybody used to be on the same page, like, this isn't right. There's something wrong. How do we come together? Well, now you might have mom that is understanding this from a Christian perspective and dad too, but both of them are taking different viewpoints on like the names and pronouns or supporting their child to some extent while they are transitioning. And there are grandparents that I have heard stories of, sadly, that have helped their grandchild to transition, to make a plan after high school graduation, where the grandchild flies off to some other state, and then grandma and grandpa are helping in the process. So there is just so many crazy stories and division and chaos, and that doesn't come from God.
That's right. That's exactly right. You mentioned that hot button issue, names and pronouns. Of course, everybody knows that people are being fired for either not using it, the correct pronoun or name, or refusing to do so by entertaining this deception or fantasy. That's just another telltale sign that this is ideological, that this is supernaturally demonic darkness, that it threatens people. If you don't get in line and follow, you know, this absurd notion that men can have babies or menstrual periods or these kinds of things, then it might cost you your livelihood. That's just one more sign in way that we know something else is going on here besides just trying to affirm somebody who's confused.
Yeah, it's manipulating people and pressuring, putting everything forwards so that they are violating their own conscience.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Let's talk about the protection of women and girls in sports. So that almost seems like, I'm not laughing at the, I'm laughing because of the tennis match back and forth. But I think this current administration has really moved the chains on this, so to speak, and it's exposed really the illogic and the irrationality behind those that support men in women's sports. It's kind of outed them, if we could say that.
Yeah, it's unfair physically, as we were talking about the physical differences between male and female. For a female to outrun a male versus it's going to usually be the other way around, depending. These girls work hard. They are dedicated to their sport, whether young, growing up, or college age, and they're looking for those scholarships. But when we look at this administration, I think we are moving in the right direction. You know, I believe women's rights were being used and claimed by those who are not biological females. I am woman, as I have seen some individuals state they're biological males. Though the person lives in a female persona, this does not change simple facts of the differences of our bodies as male and female. I don't know how many people might have seen Matt Walsh's What is Woman? You know, where the questions asked with countless people, professionals, counselors, but this gives a great example of the professionals and society when no one can answer what makes someone a woman. Yeah. You know, when I had seen it, I thought this is unreal that we have these highly educated people and they can't answer what is female.
Yeah. Including a Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
Well, let's be frank. She didn't want to answer. She's smart enough to know not to answer that. That would betray the. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. It just exposed people for the lunacy that's out there. I think when it was brought before the Senate for a vote, every Democrat voted against it. Protecting women in sports. It's hard to understand how people can insist on this deception and think they're doing right by the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We've been wronged at so many levels.
Yes.
For this ideology and the spirit that's running it. I really think that it's important for Christians to see the spiritual component of this so that they're not blinded to what's really happening.
Yes. Folks, I am speaking with author Denise Schick. The book is Out of Darkness and Into the Light, Winning the Battle of Gender Identity. Denise's website is helpforfamilies.com. You can go there. There is a contact drop-down menu if you have questions, you need help. I know that Denise and her ministry team would get back to you in a timely fashion. All the other books that Denise has written that really touch on this subject. And you can go back in the archives on WCN-TV and watch those interviews, those conversations. And I think there's so right there. Is that your father, Denise?
It is, yes. Yeah, and you know, particularly I remember when I had seen him after 13 years had gone by. The whole story, just to give people a snippet, when you haven't seen somebody, and I didn't know what he'd look like at that point. And all I could tell myself is, look at his eyes, Denise. Look at his eyes, you know. And I found that so helpful, because everything else that had manifested on the outside, it didn't matter. I was focusing on his eyes when I was speaking with him, when I visited with him. It really helped me. And I know that it helps many others. Otherwise, you're looking at the hair, you're looking at the jewelry, how they're dressed, and it can really send you upside down.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and producer, we'll go to a break here after this question, and we'll run the Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference promotion. There's still time, folks, to secure your seat April 4th and 5th in Wausau, Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference. We'll run that in just a second, but during the opening commentary, Denise, I pointed out that 95% of all medical transitions are experimental. That, I don't even know what to say about that. Do people who are in this confused state and enter into surgical procedures, do they understand that it's all experimental?
I don't think they do. You know, they're looking for a fix. They're looking for what they're being promised by the individuals, by the medical team, whoever it is that is pushing that through. And what I find amazing is that statement was made by Nugent, who is a trans man. And he wow. shared this in 2023. So when you have somebody that has transitioned, mm-hmm. and stating 95% of all medical transition is experimental. He states, I tried to kill off my female self. I was told a lie. I was told that I was a man trapped in a woman's body. That was my masculine traits and strong personality were proof that I was really a man. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly know some strong women. And some of those same personality traits, that does not make you a man, as you know, Nugent is saying. He's just watching Nugent and how he talks about his story, how he talks about her story. I'm sorry, it gets kind of confusing for me, because I don't refer to the people in their biological. I refer to them in their biological gender. But Nugent's been interesting to follow and to listen. To what this person has to say.
And what better person to listen to than someone who has actually undergone the mm-hmm. procedures? Yeah. Well, folks, stay with us. We're going to show a promotion for the upcoming Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference, April the 4th and 5th. We'll be back with you right after this.
Good courage, be not afraid and be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you everywhere you go, every place you put your foot. It's yours, baby, as an inheritance.
We are meant to have the fire from heaven upon us. We will blaze with your glory, Lord.
We are to be the light in the darkness. We are to be the head, never again the tail. We are to push forward and win what God wants us to win.
We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We change, okay? And we become the righteousness of God through Christ.
We are to look at the passage in light of the whole of God's Word. Scripture interprets Scripture.
You are the living body of Christ on this earth if you're part of His church.
we were made for a time such as this. I mean, when I look back at our history and what gifts God gave me and all the things that he lined up ahead of time, I mean, how can you turn it down?
All of us are called. Everybody is getting a phone call. Ring! God on the line.
The Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference, April 4th and 5th. With music ministry led by national recording artist Leighton Howerton. Come home to God at the Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference. The conference will be held at the Hilton Garden Inn Hotel and Convention Center, 151401 County Road, NN, Wausau, Wisconsin. Purchase your tickets today at CoachDaveLive.com/events. That's CoachDaveLive.com/events. You can also call 715-486-8066 for more information. See you at the conference. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, producer. Thanks for hanging with us, folks. We are speaking with author, researcher, Denise Schick. And again, the book for this conversation is Out of Darkness into the Light, Winning the Battle of Gender Identity. Denise, I had mentioned in the opening comments that it is expected right now, transgender surgery reassignment is a $2.1 billion industry, expected to go up by 2030, just five more years, expected to over double, a $5 billion industry. And we had mentioned just briefly that, and this is based on testimony from folks who have actually done this, statistics showing what happens, thoughts and actual suicides don't decrease after gender reassignment surgery. They actually increase, don't they?
Yes, they do. And people don't, they're not aware of that. You know, what they hear is that if you don't agree, if you don't affirm, if you aren't part of the celebration, a part of appeasing somebody, then, oh my gosh, they might commit suicide. They use the fear factor, especially with parents when it comes to their child in these type of situations. But what the studies show are individuals that have transitioned and that are very successful in their career. Their family has affirmed them. They have what you would assume everything that they wanted. But here they are, they still struggle with suicide ideation, or sadly, they take their own life. The studies are there, but the world does not promote the truth, you know, where we know through John that the truth is what will set people through, set people free. Yes. And that's not being promoted. But these, it's very concerning, very alarming to understand the depth of where this ideology, this manipulation, the spirit that's running this to the depth of taking people's lives. Satan doesn't care about anybody. And if he can take the life of somebody that's troubled, that's struggling with their own value or believing that God can forgive them, he'll take them down and out. That's why it's so important for God's people to be praying against this movement, praying for those that are deceived, that are being entrapped into a false belief system.
Yes. Yeah. Most of us, I would say, well, probably all of us on this platform, and certainly those that are in the live guest queue, understand that the media in America, they have become ideologically driven. So they're going to suppress any information, no matter how strong of an argument. They're going to suppress any information that does not support the narrative that their corporations, and again, this is common knowledge, I think it's five or six corporations own 90% of the mainstream media. And that's why we get just lockstep by the drumbeat narratives that fly in the face of reason and even now the science. Speaking to parents specifically, Denise, one of the hardest things that they face is trying to love their son or daughter, trying to express that emotionally to a son or daughter who is very adamant that their feelings are that they're trapped in the wrong body. That really puts parents in a very difficult position, doesn't it?
It does, you know, and understandably so. Just the emotional drainage that this causes for parents, the responsibility that some of them feel that they didn't do this right, they could have, the should haves, all of that, when they could have done everything just as good as they knew to do and everything perfectly, you know, though there's no perfect parent. But the fact is that they will second guess if they had a responsibility in how their child turned out, which I think any of us that have children and you have one that's gone astray can understand that. But they, for that, for the parents to understand, yes, your child is hurting. Your child's heart needs a healing, a healing that God can give, but we can also provide healing through relationships. The parents are so primary important in their children's lives, no matter what age they are, if the child will allow them. And I say that because some adult children will cut off completely if the parents do not play the game, will not bow down and give them everything that they want, including the names and pronouns. But we have to stay focused and see, here is somebody that is being deeply deceived. And they may have some unknown hurts. There's usually unknown reasons that somebody is seeking to leave their identity, to seek their identity in somebody else. I understood that with my dad. My goodness, at 9 years old, when he was telling me that he wanted to become a woman, I'm sitting there processing this and I'm thinking, don't you realize that you and your dad have a horrible relationship? That your mother had emotionally and mentally abused you through her alcoholism, and what he experienced was absolutely horrible. And now you're telling me that you've been sexually abused. It was the perfect recipe for somebody not to feel valued as a person, as who he was. Now, I'm not saying everybody's been sexually molested, but there are a lot of other reasons that can go along with why somebody is seeking to be somebody else. They're looking to mask their pain somehow.
Yeah. Well, I think, and that's a very good point, Denise. And I think that statistically is true even in the LGBTQ community. Yes. There is a direct link between those who, and again, I've got a couple of friends who have come out of that lifestyle, strong believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will tell you that that was a primary factor in their own slide into that darkness. So it's
I think as Christians, we, you know, I'm speaking from my own experience, even with my dad, where I would look at him and being disgusted with him. You know, we're looking at the sin, we're looking at what they struggle with or how they are behaving, rather than looking at the heart. And God looks at the heart. God wants their heart. He sees the scars. He's been there during their experiences that they've had when they just wanted to shrivel up and die. God wants their heart. So if we as Christians, if we can just start to look at somebody and see, yeah, this is how their life is manifested, but what's underneath? What's underneath?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a key, Denise. You should love, you can love without acquiescing to that, yes, to that deception. And you can remain firm in your resolve that the Lord will see this through. But capitulating and affirming for the sake of love, well, I just think it's the wrong decision. Now, and I do know some parents who have experienced a child affirming that they are gay, and they have stood their ground. They have loved them, but they have been very, very consistent in telling them that they don't support this. And I know that's a tough thing to do because obviously the emotions are involved, right?
Right. Yeah, it's very tough. But as a parent, when we can express love to the child that's gone astray at this time, you know, and I say at this time because we aren't believing that this is always going to be the case. After all, we're putting our faith forward. We're trusting God. We're relying on his promises. We are leaning into him. What's important for anybody that has a loved one in any of these LGBT identifications to remember is this journey isn't just about your loved one. This is a journey for your loved one and God, just as this journey is, what does God want to do in and through you during these circumstances? And guaranteed, you will not be the same person you were before you received the news.
Yeah. Very, very good point, Denise. Some people argue that receiving hormone therapies, treatments, in anticipation or in advance of gender reassignment surgery is going to make or affirm your identity, that you're trapped in a, receive these hormones and everything's going to be crystal clear. It's going to affirm your decision and prepare you for that next step and freedom and all of this. And that's just a lie, isn't it?
It is. It's a lie. And that's why we are hearing with an increased amount of younger people that are even coming out and, you know, basically saying the same thing my dad did. This didn't bring me the fulfillment that I thought that it would. It didn't bring me the satisfaction that I thought. It didn't bring me the fix that I thought that it would. We can try to manufacture him the best that we can to look in and act as a female between voice sessions to all of the different surgeries possible, make them the most beautiful. But that is not, again, going to reach his heart. It's his heart where we need the surgeon, the perfect surgeon, which is God himself.
Yes. Amen. Yes. These things are not an answer for that inner turmoil that's just raging within folks. It's the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Now, and folks, again, we are speaking with author Denise Schick, and the book is Out of Darkness and Into the Light, Winning the Battle of Gender Identity. You encourage people in the book to stand up against those who are trying to deconstruct our society. What's the best approach to doing that?
You know, I think one of the best approaches is something that we're all able to do as a American, and that is to become involved in who we are voting for. Know the politics, even in your town, of your school districts. Attend the meetings where you're able to and ask the Lord, do you want me to share? Do you want me to speak up and say something? But by golly, we can all vote. We all have that available to us that allows our voice to be heard in a different way.
Yeah. And that could perhaps the best place to start, folks, is at your local school board meetings.
Yes.
Stand up and let your voices be heard. Let these administrators know. Now, I will say this. You're up against a mountain because they're receiving millions and millions of dollars. And I'll just speak to this in our local context here. One of the school board members was very, very transparent when they were discussing the use of restroom facilities in our local school district. And he flat out said, if we don't go along with this, now this was before the current administration, a couple, 3 years ago now, if we don't go along with this and allow this, boys to use girls and vice versa, then we're going to lose millions of dollars in federal aid. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it all comes down to money. When we look at the medical institutions, the psychiatrists, psychologists, pharmaceutical companies, everybody is getting rich off of these people, and they really don't, they don't give a dime about them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. They do not give a dime about them. So how do we approach, we've kind of touched on this already, but we need to be careful how we approach. I'm sure someone who has joined us for this conversation, Denise, is very caught up in this. They've got a family member that is thinking this way. We have to be very careful, I think, about how we approach that if we're given an opportunity to have a conversation. These young people are very vulnerable, and speaking to them in with very harsh, critical, destructive words, might drive them further instead of accomplishing what we're hoping is to help them out of that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, we need to start as early as we can to start discussing sexuality and identity with children. Now, obviously, age-appropriate language and descriptions given. But when we look at the young people, if somebody's got a teenager in their home and you have no idea who their friends are or what social media they're using, what YouTubes they like, what's the music that they listen to, just have some simple conversations and let them know, you know, this isn't my generation. I'm trying to understand your generation, you and your peers. Can you tell me what kind of music do you guys like to listen to? What type of social media? Why do you like that? You know, so you're just having regular conversation where you're not going in there and immediately going with the ammunition about sexuality and gender. You're getting to know your child and in a sense of what makes them tick. We also have to remember that we need to build their emotional bank to help them have a firm foundation in who they are and the gifts that God had given them, all that he intends for them. We have to build the younger generation up. Everybody else is trying to rip them apart and tell them who they are. So help them discover that through godly wisdom. And again, as parents, you know, I have two daughters and I've often shared this story. One took dance class from the time of kindergarten through high school graduation. The other one took three classes and she said, Mom, I'm not a girly girl like my sister. She wanted to work on cars, shoot guns with her dad, and do those sorts of things. And I didn't know anything about that. So what did that mean? I had to get interested in what my daughter liked.
Yes.
I had to learn more than, well, it's a blue truck. You know, I was starting to learn models, trying to have conversations with her. And that's what we've got to do. If you have a son that's artistic and into music or, and dad's a football player, I'm sorry, dad, get with the program and find out what your son's interested in. Get into his world. We have to do this as early as we can with our children. It's working on relationships. Also, I think it's very important, especially with the older teens or adults, whoever we're speaking to that's identifying as LGBTQ, to recognize the tone of your heart. That usually comes out in the tone of our voice. We have to be slow to speak and know what we are going to say so that we aren't batting ourselves over the head because we said something we shouldn't or we used the wrong attitude of the heart. So to be very careful on the tone of your voice as you're speaking, look at ways to have them share with you about their world. Don't be afraid to ask them questions.
Very, very excellent points, Denise. The ministry, folks, is help4families.com. There's all kinds of information on there about what we offer. So let's speak just a little bit. We've got just a few more minutes, Denise. What services are offered through Help for Families?
Oh, we have Zoom support groups, in-person support groups. We have biblical studies, a moving forward in community, a video program that we had developed, biblical counseling and biblical life coaching. It's really, the ministry is about coming alongside of the family and trying to help them discover, you know, maybe they know where their needs are. Maybe they need to walk through biblically the grief that they're going through, the shock they're going through. We offer monthly podcasts, just basically to hear stories of other individuals. I don't ask a lot of questions because to me, it's important for the guest just to share their story. And that has been instrumental, especially, for instance, with a wife. You know, there's not a lot out there about wives that are left behind when the husband leaves them to transition. And so it is, again, just looking at what does the family need? How can we come alongside and support them in a biblical way?
Yes. Amen. And as I pointed out earlier, there is a contact us drop down that you can drop Denise or the ministry a note. And if you have appreciated Denise's conversation and the things that she has said during our conversation, please drop her a note. Let her know. Tell her thank you very much for standing up for children. We appreciate that. Denise, it's been a pleasure and a blessing once again.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be with you all again tonight.
Thank you very much. Folks, that's all we have for you in this episode of WCNTV. Please share this with your friends on your social media platforms and get the word about Help for Families out to those that you care about. God bless you. We'll see you next time.